Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm host Paul Vogelsang, and this is episode number 241. Let me start with the most important thing first. Mission Impossible Fallout is a monster home run of a movie. Writer-director Christopher McQuarrie, the first director to return to the Mission Impossible franchise, and Tom Cruise have crafted an action extravaganza that's loaded with tons of "I can't believe they just did that" moments. And as we learned from Tom Cruise in our most recent interview, Cruise is famous for doing his own stunts, and what he does in Fallout will leave your jaw on the ground. Trust me, if you like action movies, thrillers, or just awesome movies, you are going to want to see Mission Impossible Fallout on the very biggest screen you can when it opens in theaters this Friday, July 27th. And today, we're going to be speaking with Christopher McQuarrie. McQuarrie broke out in Hollywood by winning the Oscar for writing The Usual Suspects, but in recent years, he's become known as Tom Cruise's go-to director. After working with Cruise on Jack Reacher, McQuarrie delivered one of the best Mission Impossible movies with 2015's Rogue Nation. Now, the director is back in the director's chair for this month's Mission Impossible Fallout. Ahead of the film's release, Chris McQuarrie, director and writer, who Cruise refers to as McHugh, joins us to talk about stunts, directing the film, and, well, Tom Cruise. Chris McQuarrie, thanks so much for joining us today. This is a busy week, and I want to thank you for taking some time and talking with us. I also want to ask you right up front to tell us about the title of the film, Fallout. Tell us a little bit about that and what that means to character Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt's journey in this film is different than it has been in other installments of Mission Impossible, in that his past comes back to haunt him. The title Fallout refers not only to the literal meaning of nuclear fallout, but also to the fallout of all of his good intentions. What I was really interested in doing in this film was giving Ethan a more emotional journey. I think in most of the Mission Impossible films, a lot of what we know about Ethan is what other people think they know about Ethan throughout the story, and he's a bit of a mystery, and I wanted to be more inside of his head, and I wanted to feel more of his connection to the people around him, and I think that's what we've done.
We spoke to Tom Cruise about locations, and he described the locations, starting off by saying it's a love letter to Paris, but Paris, London, Dubai. Tell us about Paris and filming there, which is where that wonderful, electric, almost car chase scene takes place.
Tom and I were determined to shoot in Paris. We both love Paris, and we both spent a lot of time there. And we wanted to do something that really showcased the city. And we were very fortunate in that Paris actually let us do it. They also let us fly over the city, which is very unusual. And so we are under the city, in the city, over the city. You will see every possible corner of Paris in this car chase.
Yeah, that car chase is incredible. And Tom Cruise in those locations is wonderful. There's just something about that audiences will love, being immersed in these great spots around the world where the action takes place.
Mission Impossible is all about practical stunts, practical action, going to real locations, as little green screen as humanly possible. And that comes from a determination to create the most subjective experience that we possibly can. We really want to put you inside the action. And fortunately, we're blessed with having Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt. And Tom is ready and willing to do just about anything we can conjure up. What that does is it creates both an opportunity and a real challenge. You have to find ways to put the camera in a place where you can see that your star is actually performing those stunts. And so everything is designed around that. It's all to maximize the fact that the character that you're with and with whom you're identifying is doing all of these things, and it really puts you in the center of the action.
Yeah, and the other action that we talked to Tom Cruise about, you know, amongst all of these stunts, but we started with the, you know, that amazing long line stunt, and that stunt is really something. It, you know, it's almost a set piece or you know, a signature stunt in the film.
The long line stunt, which takes place in New Zealand, was inspired by a location scout early on in Mission Impossible. You're always talking about what is the stunt, and we were looking desperately for what that was. We had a story, we had an outline, and nowhere in that outline was there room for something like the kind of stunt we were looking for. We had a lot of spectacular stuff, but nothing that was sort of a signature stunt that you were going to see in the trailer. And I called Tom and pitched him this idea for the long line gag, and of course Tom loved it. And then, of course, we pitched it to Wade Eastwood, who had to come up with a way to do it without killing Tom.
And there's another story here, too, an anecdote about how believable this stunt is. Tell that.
Rebecca Ferguson showed up that morning as Tom was shooting the drop from the line onto the payload for the first time. And I, of course, couldn't be in the helicopter, and so there's really nothing I could do. Once I directed Tom, I just let it go and waited for the footage to come back. And Rebecca and I were standing on the set, and about a mile down the valley, you could see Tom dangling from this helicopter. And Rebecca walked up to me and said, "Is that Tom?" And I said, "Yes." She goes, "What is he doing?" And I said, "Just wait." And about a second later, Tom fell. And Rebecca said, "Oh my God!" And I said, "It's okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing." She hadn't read the script and didn't know at this point. And we heard on the radio, one of the ADs down in the valley said, "I think we just lost Tom."
Oh my gosh.
And even the crew thought that it was not part of the plan. People thought Tom had actually fallen and that we'd lost him. And they said, "Well, if the crew believes it, it's probably going to work."
Yeah, I'll say it. And it works. So then Tom learns to fly stunt helicopters. I guess you don't tell Tom Cruise what can be done and what he can or can't do or learn.
Tom was determined to learn this aerobatic maneuver, which was a corkscrew turn, which is not something that helicopters are really meant to do. Everyone told him it couldn't be done. They said he certainly wouldn't be able to do it. And the representative from Airbus went out with Tom, and Tom described the maneuver, and the representative from Airbus tried to do it, and could not do it and didn't want to. And Tom said, "Well, let me show you how I'm going to do it." And he had spent a lot of time learning it and really learning the ins and outs of the aircraft and what the limits of the aircraft were. And he did it. And the guy from Airbus was absolutely terrified until Tom pulled him out of it, and he said, "Oh, okay, all right, I see how you can do that, all right, yeah, no, I trust you, that's fine." And watching it happen the first time was absolutely nerve-wracking, because he's not only in this corkscrew, but he's in a corkscrew very close to the cliff face behind him, and every single rotation looked like he was going to hit the wall. And our pilot, who is a very experienced pilot in the camera ship, the whole time Tom was doing it, with every turn, you just heard him saying, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." That was really nerve-wracking to watch. But he did it. He pulled it off.
You know, I just love that Tom Cruise is so game to do all this. But, you know, as they say, stuff happens. And of course, you know, famously now, Tom breaks his ankle on the full sprint jump from roof to roof. It just seems like jumping across two roofs isn't as dangerous as flying a stunt helicopter, or, you know, the car chase scene through Paris, or anything else.
The rooftop chase, which was originally going to be a small bit of action that joined two acts together. As with all things on Mission Impossible, it grew in size and it grew in complexity. And then, of course, it really produced the big surprise of the movie, which is Tom broke his ankle performing what was comparatively one of the simpler stunts on the movie. In fact, the stunt was so simple we weren't even thinking of it as being as potentially dangerous as, say, hanging off a pulpit rock or flying a helicopter through a broom closet or speeding through Paris. And Tom was performing the stunt and performed it perfectly, but he kept bouncing off of the wall. It was just it's a very hard hit. He's leaping from one building to another, hitting the wall with his body, and has to grab on. So he was able to make the jump, but he kept bouncing off. And so he adjusted his position on the last jump, and when he did, he hit his foot on the wall, and you can see the footage. It's actually really painful to watch. And right away, we knew the ankle was broken, and we knew that was going to change the way we were going to finish this movie.
Yeah, you can see that from the footage, and we'll post links to where you can find that and view it, but it is incredible. And the next stunt is incredible too, and that's the halo. So tell us about that and the challenges that go along with a stunt like that, jumping from this high altitude, low opening jump.
We were trying to find a way to shoot a sequence where Tom was jumping out of a plane at high altitude. And of course the challenges there are multiple. The biggest one being shooting it in such a way that you can actually see that it's Tom. That meant that the camera was going to have to go out of the plane backwards so you could see that it was Tom running out forwards. That was challenge number one. Challenge number two, we were determined to do it at a high enough altitude that Tom was going to require oxygen. And with halo jumps, the equipment that exists involves a face mask and goggles, which of course conceals the actor's face. So we had to develop a special helmet that Tom could wear where you could see his face. And of course, it's a nighttime sequence, which means we now have to find ways to light Tom's face. The problem with putting lights in Tom's helmet is that he also has pure oxygen in his helmet. So if there's any sort of spark from the lights, it's going to set Tom on fire. Normally, what you see when you're looking at skydiving footage is you're looking at stuff that's shot on a GoPro, and it's a very wide lens. It's very forgiving in terms of its focus, and a lot of times it has autofocus on it. We're shooting a sequence using an actual digital film camera. A cinema camera with a manual focus lens, and we're dealing with various distances all the way from, you know, hundreds of feet away all the way up to 3 feet away from the lens, which means someone is manually focusing that camera. That meant Tom had to jump out of a plane at 25,000 feet and dive down to the camera and stop himself from going anywhere past 3 feet to the camera lens, with two focus pullers and with safety divers jumping out behind the camera operator who are trying to stay off camera. It's an incredibly, incredibly complicated shot. I still can't believe we got it. I'm amazed by it. I would say it's the most challenging stunt that Tom's ever done, if I hadn't seen Tom do so many other challenging stunts. Right. It is uniquely challenging. I think everything that he does is in one way or another. It's not to discount the other things that he's done. I think the Burj Khalifa was incredibly challenging. The A400 was incredibly challenging. Any stunt in Mission Impossible is, up until the moment we do it, deemed impossible. In fact, if somebody doesn't tell us that it's impossible, we don't even bother. So, but this one. Truly, when he did it, when we looked at the shot, I turned to him and I said, "That's impossible. I don't know how you did that. I don't know how we pulled that off. No one will ever know how impossible that is."
Christopher McQuarrie, last question for you. You're credited with being the first director to return to the Mission Impossible franchise. So, what does that mean to you? As a director, with all of these stunts and creating all of this for an audience,
being the first director to return to Mission Impossible has been something of an ironic challenge. I remember after we shot the A400 on Rogue Nation, I turned to Tom and I said, I feel sorry for the next guy who directs one of these because I don't know how you're going to top that. And I never should have said that, because then I found myself about a year later faced with that challenge. And so I was determined to do more, not just to have a stunt, but to have multiple stunts and have all of those stunts be in some way or another uniquely challenging. And as a result, we ended up with the helicopter chase, we ended up with the halo sequence, we ended up with the fight on Pulpit Rock, and not to mention the, you know, all the other things that he's doing with the car chase, the motorcycle chase, the foot chase. Each of those had to be presented in a way that were that were different, so that it wasn't just another chase. This being Mission Impossible, you can expect, you must expect stunts like you've never seen before. And after 5 Mission Impossible movies, it's safe to say this one outdoes them all.
Well, stunts, and stunts. This is a great movie opening July 27th. You will be saying, I can't believe they just did that. My thanks to Christopher McQuarrie, Paramount, EPK TV for helping arrange these great interviews over the last 2 days. Go see this movie, Mission Impossible Fallout, July 27th. Thanks, everybody.